Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on June 18th, 2014. June 1, 8, 2014. Man, am I sleepy today? Figures Jerry isn't here. You know, the guy always is bugging me about his contract, how much he's getting paid. He takes half the summer off. I don't care. Maybe it's going to be better because Jerry is not here. Anyway, I'm going to get right into my introduction. Today I want to tell you that sometimes pop music has a profound message. Popular music can tell you something that's worthwhile sometimes, and I'm going to give you a good example. Unlike my guests, who never want to give examples, I'm going to give you an example that you should remember for the rest of your life, and here it is. You remember that song by Nick Lowe? Remember what he said? Sometimes it's cruel to be kind. Sometimes it's cruel to be kind in the right measure. That's what he said. Now, here's a story from Quebec. That's a province in Canada. I think most of you people know. There's a woman, a young woman. She was driving on a small highway near Montreal, and she sees about seven ducks in the middle of the road. So what does she do? She stops her car. She puts on her flashers and walks back to help them. She said in court, I just wanted to pick up those sweet little ducklings and put them in my car. She wanted to protect them, right? And that is sweet. But the other drivers, they didn't expect to find a car stopped in the middle of the highway, did they? So a motorcycle came up behind her and smashed right into the back of her car. And the driver and his daughter, they were both killed right in front of the eyes of the mother who was driving behind them, right? Now, no one would say that Emma, that was the lady who stopped to help the ducklings, no one would say that she's a mean person. She's a good person. But what she should have done when she saw those ducks was shrug and let them get run over. Instead, she wrecked a family. So here's the message. Don't feel obligated to be nice. Don't feel obligated to be nice. Be practical. That's the rule we follow on this show. And Jerry, what show is this? Oh, hey. I forgot. Jerry's not here. Let me see if I can find Jerry's shout. Here he goes.
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Jaeger, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, like what kind of answer is that? Last week you told Jerry you're going to handle the after show. So I ask you, are you going to do the after show? And you say, well, yeah, like if nobody else wants to. Do you want to do the after show or not? I mean, if you're not enthusiastic, don't do it. You're not doing me a favor, okay?
Well, all right. Yeah, no, I'm more than happy to do it, man.
No, more than happy, or do you want to do it? You tell me, Animal, I really have a urge to lead the Animal After Show. Do you want to? I don't need second-rate leaders here. I want someone who's committed, who's passionate.
There's no doubt you should be committed. And, yeah, I'll be more than happy to handle the After Show.
Yeah, okay, I'll leave it at that. I'm going to bring on the guest. You can take Jerry's place. You can chit-chat with me. The guest is a woman, but her name is Jamie. Okay? Jamie. And I'm afraid to say her last name because she announced to everybody on LinkedIn that she gets mad if you can't pronounce it. So, Jamie, are you here?
I'm here.
Can you say that a little louder? I'm here so I can hear it?
I am here. I'm right here. Loud and clear.
Okay. Now, tell us, how do you say your last name?
Suka.
What?
Suka.
And how do you spell it?
S-C-U-K-A.
S-E-U-K-A, and it's Suka, and you say if a sales rep calls you, you get pissed off if they don't pronounce your name properly. Well, I'm going to teach you something. If there's nothing else that happens on the show today, here's a lesson for everybody, right? If you want people to say your name correctly, spell it in English. Spell it in English, okay? I never would have got that. I'm not from Czechoslovakia or wherever that name comes from. How am I supposed to know? Okay?
You're supposed to go on the internet and like, you know, you look at the name and say, how do you phonetically spell it? And it'll tell you. Most names do that. I've been in sales a long time, so that's what I do. So
I can go there
take
and
2 seconds.
Put in any Polish or Czech name, and it's going to tell me how to say it?
Google makes me smarter.
Okay. What time am I? You know what? Let me turn my volume up. Maybe that's the problem. I can't hear you. Okay.
Perfect.
I turned my volume up. My volume's up all the way. So.
Okay, good. Okay, maybe it's me. So on Twitter, Jamie is at SBA Recruiter. Smile Button Apple Recruiter. What does SBA stand for?
Small Business Administration, like SBA loans. I work with bankers that, you know.
But you're
a
banking
specialize
recruiter.
In SBA.
Is SBA a banking term?
Yes, like SBA loans, small business loans through the government. Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
That's
those well, why don't you introduce yourself? And I have to tell you, before the show, one of our, you know, favorite contributors, Stephen Nahez, pointed out that you have only 10 months of recent recruiting experience. The implication was that you have nothing to tell us because you don't have enough background. And so I
but
want
I,
you to tell us, is that true?
I was
no,
actually
hold on.
An IT recruiter.
Yeah, you were a few months, so you weren't a recruiter long before either. Wait a second, Travis has something to say. Travis, what was that? Travis?
I didn't pipe up and ask anything.
Someone said something. Mm-hmm. Who was it?
Wasn't
I said
me.
There's a 2-year gap in her profile.
Yeah, it's missing something. I must notice that. I noticed that there's, you know, another company that I roofing company that I worked on. I recruited all the team members. I worked in a small business. I ran a small business. I you know, that in itself has a whole recruiting aspect to itself. I made the training manuals. I mean, if you can do that and hire all the employees that work underneath you, I mean, that is recruiting right there. I mean, I don't know what else is. I mean, I just. You know, it is what it is. But you can say whatever you want, 10 months, but I've also been the top person here at my company. I've also surpassed a lot of things. I've also told people tell me all the time that you do things differently and it makes sets you apart. So, hey, sometimes, you know, you need a fresh perspective on things. So that's how I roll.
Is Nahez here, her accuser? Is he here? Speak up.
Steven, speak up.
Man. Yeah. I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, yeah, he's got no guts. That's his technical difficulties.
Oh, hey,
no
listen,
guts.
You know
okay.
What? No guts. I want to tell you something. That comment you made earlier about the last name being pronounced correctly or whatever, that needs to be applied to 24,500,000 Canadians, okay? All right? Say the word about. Say it.
About? We don't say a boot. That's not true. I've never heard anyone say a boot except in the South Park movie.
Let me just distinguish. The comment that I made was that she had 10 months of recent recruiting experience, that indicating that as a recruiter, okay, so it wasn't knocking the fact that she might be a good recruiter. She could be, you know, rookie of the month 5 months in a row. That, who knows?
Yeah.
That was just the only observation. That's it.
Okay.
So
and there was no. Oh, I guess I just read too much into it. Oh, it was me.
Well,
of course.
The only
sound like a woman.
The only observation I made really is I was looking over things was in her LinkedIn profile. She describes herself as a pain filler.
A pain filler or a pain killer?
What's a
pain filler? Pain filler, like I help, you know, you find the pain in somebody, you know, with you know, a client. Or candidate, so you feel their pain. Get it? Got it. It's kind
of
a play word.
If we have to guess, it's just kind of like if we're making us guess.
Yeah.
Create
we're
pain.
Right. We're giving you some advice.
My only observation would be is this: if you were a recruiter, most recruiters. Let me clarify that. Most successful recruiters, and that would be not based necessarily based on money, but just you know successful recruiters. that I know typically don't take a hiatus for several years, exit recruiting, and then come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'd like to hear about.
Okay,
well,
you want to ask?
Okay, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, my husband basically told me he started a small business, and he said, come to the dark side, come run a small business with me. So I did, and I helped him grow it to a multi-million-dollar company basically from scratch, from nothing. So that's that in its own. I implemented a lot of things that I did there. I've learned as far as recruiting in the IT world. But it's a natural thing that I just have, apparently. I don't know. People call me Rain Man or something. But I helped hire all the employees that we had at our company. I mean, we had 20 people working in the office. I created all the training programs. It was implemented. There was no hiatus, really. I had a lot more shit going on. Sorry.
Okay. Let's find out what you're doing now, though. What are you doing? What's your current job?
I'm a banking and financial recruiter here at MSI.
Okay, you know what? We should sing, because I think you're a bit nervous. You have a song that you'd like to sing?
Me? I'm not nervous.
Well, you sound a bit nervous.
A song. Why do I sound nervous? That's weird.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. Everything is wrong. Everything in the show that is wrong, it's me, okay? It's never the
other
guy.
Apparently. I
do
see
you have
a theme
song?
Here.
Do you have a song?
How about Apple Bottom Jeans?
Don't know it.
Yes, you do, Animal.
What does it sound like, Travis?
Based on your answer to that, I'd say maybe
Apple
Hey
Bottom
Night.
Jeans. Right, boots with the...
You sing
Come
it.
On.
You sing it. I don't know it.
I'm tone deaf, but I got to sing with somebody else, so it drowns me out.
Who's going to help her, a nice girl? Nobody. Do you know Don't Sleep in the Subway?
No. No, I don't.
Positively 4th Street?
Mm-mm. What are these songs? Why do I not know them?
I don't know. I don't know why you don't know them. Is there any song that we both know that we could sing together? Because I'll sing by myself if I have to.
How about the Star Spangled Banner?
What?
I don't know
the Star Spangled Banner, okay?
Jerry, based on this conversation, I think you need to sing Hey 19 by Steely Dan.
Oh, that's
I don't
nice.
Know that either. I don't know that either. Hey, but you know
Hell's
Jeff
Bell.
Newman. Jeff Newman knows positively.
How about row your boat?
You've got a lot of nerve to say you are
to
my friend.
To say you are my friend. Come on. When I was down, you just stood there grinning. Okay. That's it.
Just trying to help.
That was awkward.
Say I let you down. You know it's not like that. I used to be among the crowd. Okay,
it's all good.
Let me ask you the big question. How many placements did you make from Twitter last year?
One, two. Well, in the course of me being here, I've gotten two job orders and three placements.
From Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
No. How many people did you recruit from Twitter? You know what Twitter is because we're on it. We met each other.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Come on. Yes. I know what Twitter is. I know what a tweet is. Yes, I got two, job orders that I actually filled, and two of them I got from two that I filled off of Twitter, and it was one of them was a big Fortune 500 company that found me on Twitter.
Can you tell us a story about those? You don't have to mention the names of the companies, but we rarely ever get anybody who does any work, profitable work on Twitter, and let alone tell us a real story. Could you tell us a story about one of those placements?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was called out of the blue, and it was one of a large company, and they said, basically my line, direct, not my company, and asked for me and said that they had heard about me from somebody else. It was like their vendor management, vice president. And she said, blah, 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 we heard about you. We've got this tough position that we haven't been able to fill, a high-level position at our company. And I'd heard about you. Someone told me your name. I'm at the end of the conversation after I've figured out what they needed and whatnot. I'm like, how did you hear about me? She's like, well, actually, I think one of my coworkers was doing some research on the internet trying to find somebody and actually found you on Twitter. So.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And so did you find the candidate on Twitter as well?
Yeah, we actually not for that position. I placed that from somebody else, but I do have another candidate for another position that I got from Twitter. Yes.
Well, tell us that story, too. Tell us that story. How did you find that person?
Well, see, the thing is, I put a lot of I follow a lot of banks, and I communicate with a lot of banks, and basically, I all the hashtags that are relevant to business lending and small business and whatnot, and people just send me direct messages. I got a couple last past week. Jamie, can you help me? Whatnot. So that's essentially how it started, and then I said, hey, will you give me a call, and that's it. I mean, it was just basically an introductory. Convo, a tweet.
So you put out a tweet on Twitter, I'm looking for this kind of person, and you get direct messages about it, and one of those turned into a placement, or two of them turned into placements. Is that right?
I don't put in a lot of job orders on there. I put more so I create myself as an expert. I'm all about creating my web of influence and circle of influence out there in respect to that.
Hold on. How could you actually find somebody, though, with that kind of general – personal branding? You have to put out a specific job order for them to respond to.
My name, I'm an SBA recruiter, okay?
Yeah.
People are SBA lenders, okay?
Yeah.
It says what I do, okay?
Okay.
If you look at
it. How did you get this person? Don't make me drag it out of you. The person or one of the two people you placed from Twitter, how did they actually come to you? Did you meet them and then, recruit them once you needed them? Or did they come to you about a specific job?
No, they're about a specific job that I have. I work with a lot of production people, so they're in the front end salespeople, essentially. So if I can find SBA lenders, even if I don't have a job order, I will find them a job. That's just how I roll.
Yeah, I don't understand what you said, okay, but I honestly don't. Does anybody else understand how she got those people, recruited those people? Anybody? There's a lot of smart people on the phone. Am I dumb? I'm willing to say I'm stupid if I didn't understand. How did she source those people? Does anybody know, based on what she just told us? Somehow they came through Twitter. Okay.
I post like, hey, I'm SBA, or I'm looking for SBA lenders.
Don't wreck my show. Okay. Now look.
I know. I'm sorry.
Placing a candidate with a crappy firm. Let's say you're calling around the industry. You're marketing it. Do you call people to market jobs to candidates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you call a bunch of people, and they all say, I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole. That company stinks. It's a sweatshop. They overburden the staff. The manager's a goof. Whatever it is. Okay? I've had that experience. But then you find somebody who is willing to take a look at that job. Would you tell him or her what you've heard from everybody else?
No, it's all perspective, Everybody's got a good fit somewhere else, so if they don't ask me, I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to do their due diligence. I'm like, I tell everybody, go look who they are. Do your own research on them, and you make a determination from there if you have any questions. So you push back onto them, and I'm not I learned the hard way that I will never tell anybody, one way or the other of what anything, because then they'll come back to me somehow, and I'm like, you're somehow liable, or I feel, like I'm a part of it. So I say, no, that's on you. Go, you do your own research. I can tell you my opinion. I can tell you all the great things, but you know your industry. So go out there and, your peers, and you ask the questions that I might not know. So that's what I would say.
So you don't try to positively sell the job either. Is that right?
Oh, I do. I do it a positively way, but from a broader perspective, right? I don't tell people's names, the banks or whatever names, right away. I do it all blind, and I give them enough information that they're like, they're on the hook. And then, at that point, they're already interested in it. They want to learn more. So I'm not going to – because some people could have a bad, taste in their mind or heard something about –
You've got a taste in your mouth
from somebody, yeah.
Okay. So. Now, look, so you just said – you're telling us how you present the position. So let's talk about your cold call. What's your cold call? Do you send an email first, or you just phone somebody up?
Mostly if I can find somebody on, like, LinkedIn or whatever, I'll send them, like, a quick message, and I'll call them, like, right after that. So it's like,
well, hold on a second. Daryl Disco, he's a regular, so I'll do him a favor. He's tuned in late. Although we discussed it, he doesn't know what SBA. It means Small Business Something Loan, right? What's SBA?
Small Business Administration Loan, which is the governing body for the United States that handles, like, all for all, like, development of small business.
Yeah, she finds people who people for banking in that field. Disco, don't wreck my show by coming in late and asking questions. Okay, so you call somebody out. You say you find someone on LinkedIn. Is that where you source most of your people? Yes or no?
Not necessarily. I do a lot of sourcing in different arenas. I get a lot of referrals. Since I work in such a niche that I've developed a lot of relationships that I call these people and ask around and whatnot. That's a lot of my business too.
What do you mean you've developed relationships? What does that mean?
I know, right? That's kind of a crazy thing. what does that mean? I have a bunch of friends that are they're SBA lenders. I say, hey, I know you know somebody. Cough it up. That's what I say. That's exactly what I say.
Really?
Kind of.
No, so
not
let's
really.
Hear the call. Let's hear the call. You call me, okay?
All right. I'm calling you, like, hey,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, I'm calling you looking for a referral. I want to hear that you said you get a lot of business for placements from referrals. I want to hear the referral call. Or somebody else can be the person. I'm willing to let somebody else play, but I'll do it if you want.
Okay.
Call me up right now.
All
ring,
right.
Ring.
Ring, ring, ring. Okay.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello, how are you doing? This is Jamie Suka with MSI.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. It's been a minute since you talked. So I know I feel like I haven't chatted with you in a while. So what's going on with you these days?
Nothing much, same as always.
Same as always. So, you know, how's your kids doing? I know you told me last time that they were, you know, the one was sick and the other one was in the hospital. You know, the other one was graduating from high school. Is the stress level gone down?
Everybody's fine. Everything's good.
Okay, well, you sound like you're kind of busy right now.
Or,
can I call you back later?
I
got a couple
now.
Questions to ask.
I'm not busy.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, I know we talked before and you said call me about anybody that you need. Hey, you know what? I have a position that it's actually very similar to what you do, but I know that you're very happy and you're not interested in anything like that. But I really would like to know if your friends out there. Come on, I know, because we're friends. You know somebody, and I'd really, really appreciate it if you could help me. And, that's pretty much it. And it kind of goes.
Hold on. Someone's breathing heavy in the background. Is that a silent, you know, comment? Is that a subtle comment that you don't like what's going on? You don't like what she's saying? Anybody got a comment on what Jamie is saying right now? Not a soul. You know, Jerry's not here. You're not going to get to talk to Jerry. It's Travis, okay?
Ooh,
why don't you take your chances with me? What do you think of what you're doing right now? Anybody got a comment? Well, let me ask you something. When you called me up a minute what?
Animal.
When you called me up a minute ago, Jamie, you already – the thing is, you already said that we had an established relationship, and I said – you could call me anytime you need information. How did you get me to that state where I was willing to give a stranger information about other people?
Okay. You know, I've a lot of the times I call people because I don't know their world. I'm like, hey, can you help me? I mean, I know that you're like an expert in your field, and I know, and I'm not, and that's how I kind of started into that world. You know, I'm just calling a lot of people. I'm like, you know, I would love your expert advice. You seem very well connected, and I would love any help that you can give me. And that's how I started the relationship. And usually they're like, oh yeah, I'll talk to you and give you some help. And because when you speak to somebody's ego a little bit, they'll talk about themselves and they talk about what they know. And hey, I'm not asking them. There's no target on their back or anything. They're just, you know, they're okay, cool. And then I ask more questions, and it leads to other things. And I remember things about people, and I'll send them you know, certain things about their, you know, their life, or, you know, I write a lot of stuff down in regards to each person I talk to. So, you know, and I remember the birthdays, or, hey, that kid, certain things like that. And it really, it helps me. And I kind of create a relationship long-term. And I call people up on occasion, just check in with them to see how things are going, you know, because things change all the time. And that people appreciate it. It goes a long way.
You know what? I just got to tell you something.
Mike, I think the reason some people have a problem, some recruiters have a problem answering that question with the specifics, is what makes them great recruiters. And that's what I'm hearing here. She allows the situation to flow and adapts to it, but she has general points she hits. And that's why it's hard sometimes for you to give specifics, because every candidate is different. Every one of our people is different. And what makes a great recruiter... what makes a good recruiter a great recruiter is their adaptability. And
yeah, that's what she said. You're way off base, Jeff. Happy co-roast 18. That's not what she said. That's not what she said at all. But first
that's
of all,
I'm hearing.
No, I'll tell you. I'll address your comment in a second. I just want to tell everybody else, look, I don't know how to please you people. You're complaining on Twitter that it's going downhill. When I ask for your questions or your input, you don't say a thing, okay?
Yeah, what the heck?
You don't want to speak up. Shut up! Now, I thought what she's telling us is good. I think this is good information. And now I'm going to address Jeff and tell you why I think it's good information, because she just told us exactly what she does. She calls up a stranger and plays on the, you know, for their sympathy. She says, I'm a poor little recruiter, and, you know, I don't know much about this stuff like you. I was wondering if you could be kind enough to share your expertise. Am I right about that? And then the next point you do is, while you're chatting with them, I don't know how you get to it, you talk about their kids and their family, or you say, can you tell me something about yourself as long as we're on the phone? I don't know what your lead-in is, but then you copy down that standard sales stuff, all the information, and when you call up...
You need to... Yeah, I was going to say you humanize the call. Like, you come back and talk about your expertise. I'm like, then you lead into that, and you both talk to something that's similar, or a lot of it's football with me, or, you know, I'm from the north, or, you know, something. I'm a human to them, and I've got something in common, and then it's like their guard's down.
Go watch that soccer. I don't need you here bugging me, okay? Go watch soccer.
Dude, Animal.
So what? You don't have the guts to come on the show yourself. And you've been listening for a few years.
Hey, Animal.
What?
We got Troller.
Let Jerry get in there.
Who?
Jerry.
Jerry, all the lines are open. All the lines are open.
Mine isn't.
Yes, it is, Jerry. I can hear you.
It is not.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking to you. Of course your line's open, dummy.
Dude, man, here's the deal. I was trying to jump in much earlier. What's going on here, dude?
Yeah, what's going on here, dude?
I got a good guest, and if nobody likes her, I don't care.
Who's your guest?
Jerry, as soon as you decide that you're going to not be a part of the show, he goes right back to the recruit call script. Give us your recruit call.
All right.
You know what, Travis? It's the people who have good recruiting calls who make money, okay, and who know how to source people. But after you get them sourced, it's people who know how to make good calls. Here's a young woman who can call up a stranger and get them to spill their guts about the information she needs. Is there anything more important in recruiting than that?
If you can't do that, then get out of recruiting. That's amazing, dude.
There's your sign.
Special gift. Come on.
Yeah. Lots of people. There's plenty of people who can't get referrals because most people don't want to.
Yeah, and guess what? They go out of business.
Most people don't want to give referrals to strangers. They don't. Yeah. Why should they?
Yes, they do. It depends how you ask.
And what do you think of the way Jamie asked?
Not bad.
Right. You got to
frame. Not bad. There's some framing that needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, it's a very generic conversation that I'm having.
You call up and ask
too,
me for coach. You call up and approach me the way she approached me. I wouldn't talk to her.
Well, what do you have to do to get information from you, Al, besides promise?
I
want to
offer them something first.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I do that all the time as well. And I was, you know, here's the cool thing about what I do. I work with small business lenders. I used to be a small business owner. So I take that and leverage that into the conversation. Here you go.
Okay, so you're telling me that you've gone off and done the UCC and gotten the lines of credit, et cetera?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
That is how I, you know, I was your client. I know where you're coming from. I know why you're upset your bank's not closing deals on time. I know because your client right there wants some money yesterday. I get it. I was there. So there again, I have
good.
Something. So I think that's important to mention, I guess.
That's better.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, that's essentially it. I mean, I talk to people all the time, and they're all, you know, similar. And, you know,
we never talk to anybody. We're recruiters.
No,
we live on email and Twitter.
I ask people, you know, I go, what do you do about your, how do you get your business? Like, what do? Do you go out, your network marketing? I built a business, and I won the top 25 small businesses for 2 years running in Gwinnett County here in Atlanta. So I can, from grassroots approach. So if you need any help with your marketing strategies or anything like that, in front of small business, hey, let me know. Like, it's nothing to do with recruiting. I'm here to help. I'm here to help you.
You call up a stranger and offer to help them for free with their lead generation or marketing.
It's called pay it forward. It's called pay it forward. That's what it's called.
Yeah, so no, but is it like, do you tell them, listen, I'm going to offer you a bribe. I can't give you money, but I'm going to give you lend you my expertise in this field. Is that essentially what you're doing? How do you pose it?
Kind of, and I also say, you know, let me tell you, you know, what the good, bad, and the ugly about what's going on in the world right now, and what you're in respect to your position, your job. I'm not having, you know, and that's how I've gained a lot. I do a lot of research in respect to that my industry, and I know what's going on. And I mean, sometimes people are so busy working that they don't know. You know, they're in it, but they don't know the world around them.
Give an example. Give me one example where you know more than the people who actually work in that business.
I have somebody that was, you know, as far as what they're getting paid, you know. I had a candidate today. I was like, do you realize? I mean, he just talked to me about, you know, his position and whatnot. And I was like, yeah, you seem like you're happy and everything. I go, do you know that? Yeah, you know, a lot of times people just, you know, there's two reasons why people will move jobs. You know, they're unhappy or – there's a few different reasons there. I can all count them on one hand. But regardless, it comes down to just one of those situations. And I say, well, what, you know, is money important to you? And they're always saying, yeah. You know, and I go, in my experience, a lot of people are in your role are underpaid. They've been working in the same business for the last 5 years. And they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, well, if you tell me how much, you know, kind of the range, you know, within 10 grand what you're making, I can tell you. And then I was like, whoa. They tell me, and I'm like, what is it? They're like, what? What's that mean? I was like, well, you're kind of underpaid about $20,000. I go, when was the last time you went on an interview? You know, so you need to go out and get market. You get to get market knowledge. I go,
okay, so that's when you're recruiting the people. Okay, so let's just go back to your cold call, first of all, okay,
mm-hmm.
which apparently –
Well, wait a minute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay, so if you're recruiting somebody and your approach is to establish that they're $20,000 underpaid,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that set you up then for having to get them a $20,000 increase? And rarely see that in recruiting.
I never tell anybody what they're, and I just, I said, you're just underpaid. I don't tell you like $20,000. I don't give them. I said, you just need to go out there and make conversations.
I'm sorry. I was only going off of what you just said.
I got you. No worries.
Jerry's right. That's what you said.
Here's a nugget for you. All right.
When I call
people, you know, even whether it's CEOs at banks all the way down to whatever, I always say, you know what? Hey, you know, tell me about you. Tell me what makes you awesome. What do you want to do what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, huh, that's a good question. And so it opens up a hole, goes in different directions, which way, but it is such a good starter in on a good path of.
Now, how old are these people? What if they say I'm 45 years old already? I'm growing
doesn't
up.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that's why
those
they laugh.
Sound like
these
long
people
phone calls to me.
What was that?
I said those sound like really long phone calls to me. You know, time is our currency in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm sorry, in this field. And I mean those. What's your average phone call time then?
About a half hour. Well, I'm going to actually have a conversation with somebody that's a real because a lot these banks we're talking.
No,
talking
no, no. I'm not talking about when you find a you know a bogey that you want. I'm talking about in the process. What's your average phone call time?
In the process, like you know, just
calling individuals, direct recruiting them. You know, what? 15 duds in a row, and then you find your one good one. So, what's your total average? You know.
Nobody's tracking that but you.
I work with salespeople. I work in sales with salespeople, so they're talkers. Okay, so they tend to. It just depends on the market that you're in, right? So that.
Well, a half hour phone call that would be 15. Just doing some simple math, that would be 15, roughly 15 connects per day. You know,
I spent about three and a half hours on the phone.
You know, she's talking about if the animal wanted to go down this track of hey, how are you going to strike up a conversation, blah, 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 in order to get some referrals, and she's saying she needs to have a half-hour phone call with somebody.
Oh, then not to get referrals, I wouldn't have to have that long of a conversation because at that point, I'm talking about 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes in that front time frame.
No, that's not true, dear, because you told us, first of all, you make these general calls. You find out about people, right? So those general calls, when you first call somebody up and you get this general information about them that you use next time you call to get a referral, how long are those sort of, general candidate development calls?
Oh, I would say those are probably about 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay, and after one of those 15-minute calls, you can call somebody back the next time and get them to, you know, spill the beans on names. Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Or, you know, and it's also like I create, you know, I do other means of reaching out to people in regards to, you know, it's emails or just, hey, how are you doing, you know, and then when I really want to, you know, get the goods, I guess, per se, that's when I would call them.
So you maintain contact with people even when you've got nothing to tell them, just by email or something like that? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, email or just, you know, I would, you know, I go onto their, a lot of people have, like, posts and stuff, you know, on LinkedIn or whatever. I'll go and like it, and I'll, just so I'm relevant, I'm in front of their face. And it's like, it's all about staying in front of people.
Okay,
so
you do lots of things to stay in touch with people. Because I noticed in one of your LinkedIn recommendations, one guy said that when he was looking for a job, even when you didn't have anything for him, you called him regularly. Is that something you often do?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you know, what do you talk to him about? Just to see how things are going for him?
Well, I look past him. All right, he's somebody that's in that market and his wife was actually the one I know you're talking about. His wife is a commercial manager over another big bank, and so he was giving me a lot of information about that. It's about there's a purpose there. There's a method to my madness, you know. And there's always I make sure that it's valuable for everybody involved, and I'm not going to just call somebody just to talk to them, you know. But it's also, hey, I want to know what's going on. Up there with, you know, that was the third, but that, you know, up there with them because I don't have a lot of.
Can you give us a couple titles of positions that you've recently placed? Just a couple so we can have an idea.
Commercial lender, SBA, business development officer.
Okay, and so when you're conducting a search for one of those positions, what are we talking about for a potential population of candidates that you're going to be hitting in order to try to fill one of those positions? Are we talking a matter of tens, hundreds, or thousands of people?
From the national perspective, or
well, I mean, if you're going to try to fill the position, I mean, I don't know in your industry,
yeah, and I
nationally or whatever, but
I would say there's a group that I follow it here. It's for the, you know, all the, you know, government guaranteed lenders here in Georgia. And they've got, I think they've got a membership about 300. And that's all the people that are doing SBA loans like in Georgia. Not all of them are on there, but you know, that would be from a good, probably 500, like 300
okay,
or 400.
So we're
people.
Talking about a population measured in the hundreds. So in other words, what she's doing, Jerry and Animal and everybody, she's doing extremely surgical type of direct recruiting for each of her positions.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in the positions, in my clients all want people that have a certain book of business. They need a certain amount that they brought in. There's just because it says SBA business development officer, there's a lot of different quirky things for each bank. So, and they
Do
want
you even bother
industry.
With job boards?
No. I've not posted. The company gave me a link to Career Builder, and I haven't even logged in it since I started here. I haven't even logged in it. So,
How many job boards do you work at one time on average?
Right now I have like six of them, but we're kind of a team. There's five actually people that work in the banking here, so we all can kind of work on each other's things as well. So,
but you know, let me ask a question. Steve raised a good, and he has raised an interesting point. It sounds like a fairly small community. So,
it is, and everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, but the thing is, then in a situation like that, how do you separate your clients from your source companies? Because you can't have too many clients, or you won't have anybody to recruit from, right?
Well, exactly, and that's exactly why they pay us to do what we do. We have this industry, small business lending overall is like the government's been putting a huge push into that world, so that's why there's a lot of banks are hiring new people. There's a lot, actually, there's new clients because banks are creating positions in respect to those roles. And you know, it's kind of just, you got to find people that matches. Some of them are just not happy. Some of them.
No, but how many banks? How many employers are there in your market? Are there?
Oh, in my market, I work nationally, so I work all over the country.
Uh-huh.
Here in Atlanta.
No. I meant in whatever realm, whatever domain you're working in. So there's a lot of companies nationally. It's not just a few big ones.
No. There's a ton. There's a whole world that I didn't even know about before I started doing it. I mean, that banks you never
banks,
heard about.
They're banks, right?
What was that?
They're banks, right?
Yeah, and basically yeah. Lenders like non-banks, you know, like American Business Lending or like that. We work with non-banks as well. So,
yeah,
there's
a lot of banks here in the United States.
Well, you know what?
We
have a different banking system that didn't fail in 2009.
Exactly why, hey, I spend a lot of time with my candidates because, hey, they've been through H-E double hockey stick. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but it's, you know, they've been through basically the ringer in regards to that. So their trust, if they've been with a bank for the last 5 years somewhere, it's going to, you know, they're like, I don't know if I want to, because they've seen banks fail. They've seen things go down the tubes, you know, so they just want to make sure it's a good decision for everybody involved.
Yeah, but you tell them up front, I can't promise you that. I don't know enough.
Oh, I do.
You've got to, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Exactly.
How many candidates would you present on a job, or just roughly? I mean, are you presenting them as silver bullets, like one single candidate, or are you trying to get like four or five? How many are you presenting?
No, we don't give a lot. We tend to know what exactly they're looking for. It's a lot about their production numbers and their niche in the industry. I'm like 2 to 1, you know? Basically, I'll send one person. And if they don't like them, I'll redo it, and we'll get a little bit more on point. And usually we have a really good ratio in respect to that. We don't fling resumes at anybody. We really take that.
Oh, hey now. Nahez, you don't need to – you shouldn't take that.
Hey, but you know what? I've heard a lot – I hear a lot of crap about a lot of bankers out there that have had taken – recruiters have, like, screwed them over big time. And I'm
–
How? By getting their resume and just basically submitting them to – it just happened to me like 2 days ago. Somebody that we had that swore up and down, nobody I was not allowed to be friend presented to anybody. And, of course, that bank had their resume. They had no idea. No idea whatsoever.
So what? So how does that hurt anybody?
You know, it hurts. Okay, first of all, that person looks like they're desperate because they're sending their resume out to everybody. And second of all, I ask those questions up front because I don't want to, you know, spend a lot of, I don't want to submit that because I don't look like an idiot too because I'm not asking the right questions from my clients.
Well, resume not online? Was the person's resume not found anywhere?
No, it's
anywhere?
Not. My candidate.
It's findable.
My
then
candidate.
How did the other agency get the resume?
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people will reach out to a recruiter and they'll say, I don't have anything, but they'll just market the crap out of their resume, send it out to a bunch of people in this industry. That's what they do. And I treat that thing very confidential, very. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I would never do that. There's a lot of bad blood in respect to that in the banking world.
There's a lot of bad blood with that all over the place. But yeah. If a candidate submitted their resume somewhere, say through Indeed, Career Builder, Monster, whatever, it's out there. And don't you think it's a bit naive that they come? I mean, this happens all the time. It's just.
But we're talking about people that don't have their resume. I mean, if someone sends you, I have to a lot of times I'll have to, pull. These people are, not trying to give me information. So it's I have to get the resume from them. And then, when they do, they're even this recruiter that they might have been working with could have told them, hey, it's just for me. I'm not going to, I might, if I have other opportunities, I'll see. And they'll basically take it and then just, and spread it out there, to all these different bankers just to get a POJO, which, just to get something, that's interested, they have
What's
something.
What's a POJO? What's a POJO? I like that sound. What's POJO? A poor
First
job
just went up 10 points with me.
What is somebody else what POJO is? What did you say about points? What?
Present on an existing job order.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I thought. Yep,
POJO. Okay, but the thing is, when you have a candidate you think is marketable, there's nothing wrong with marketing that person around. Now, that usually doesn't involve sending the resume,
yeah.
But if you send it, I'm going to send your resume, what do you think of this guy? I mean, is that a crime?
All I say is, to me, when I do that, I take everything off there. It's blind. I just say, large bank, they worked it. Here's their wow factors that speak to your pain points. Y'all interested?
Uh-huh.
You don't need to give them that.
I just wanted to get back to something else. When you call someone for the first time about a job, when you present a job, you said you don't tell them the money and you don't tell them the name of the company. Is that right?
Yeah. I say, I give them a range. I said, you're where are you at? Where do you need to be? Okay, you're within the realistic range of where, they're in line with their what they're going to pay. That's all I said.
Okay, so hold on. What if they don't want to tell you how much they're earning? What do you do?
Well, then that's cool. If you don't want to tell me, we could be wasting you could be wasting your time with me right now. It could be a total, we can go down that route, cool. But you know what? Do you really want to go down that route and get to the table and you're not really,
you'll still move ahead with them if they won't tell you the money. Is that right?
No, nope, mm-mm, nope.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they're fully committed. They're not fully committed at that point.
And you don't tell them the company name at the start, right?
Nope. And our clients, I keep everything blind on both sides.
At what point do you tell? When do you tell them the company name?
I sell it to this. I sell to them like this. I say, here, I'm going to take your resume, and I'm going to pull the wow factors out of it. I'm not going to. It's just going to basically a presentation, bullet points of some great things that they will be interested in. They don't know anything else about you. It's where you are. They could figure out where you are.
You don't tell the client where the candidate's from either.
No, I tell them they work with a lot. I tell them general. It's enough just to get them interested in them because if they want to know more, they'll ask. It's the whole thing that Zig Ziglar says. You got to have three yeses, right? So you got to have, that's the first yes. They're like, okay, they're interested. They're interested over here. And then okay, they see the resume. Okay, that's their second yes. Now the third one would be, hey, they have an interview.
You don't tell the candidate the company until the company says they're interested in them. Is that right?
Yeah. We say this is who they are. They're interested in you. Would you like to, proceed with us giving us more information of them or not? And they can say yay or nay. And actually candidates like that because they feel like they're in the control.
Okay. So you don't use the name of the company as kind of an enticement in itself, right?
Nope. Because we actually sell ourselves to our clients like that because it's such a competitive, there's a small world. So they don't want their name out there knowing that they're trying to pull people from their company too. That's how it works.
Do you do business development? Do you get job orders yourself?
I do. But I don't, you know, as far as like the client engagement completely, that would be my boss, but I have, I get a lot of them, but we split that part. And then if I have a candidate, I get the rest of it.
Okay, but you don't look up a bunch of, vice presidents or sales managers or whatever it is, the hiring managers, you don't look up a lot of people and market your services to them.
I'll do if I find somebody that's a good candidate, I'll do like, I'll say, you know, I won't really tell them. Give me a list of the top companies that you would love to work for, you know, or whatever, or here. And I say, you know, and I'm going to market some of parts of your resume to these. And then if they're interested, I would say, awesome, cool, I'm going to get you in contact with my coworker, and then they'll close the deal, and we'll winner-winner moving forward. That's how we work.
Okay, so you bring in new business by marketing good candidates. That's it. That's your style,
yes,
right?
But they're well aware of it. Yes.
Okay. Yes, yeah, I didn't say no, but I mean, you don't just call up companies and introduce yourself and say I'm a recruiter in your field. I'd like to do some business with you. You don't do that.
I get
right?
a lot of people that call me out of I'm on their own now. It's weird, but it's
because
no.
you're on Twitter. Because you're on Twitter.
It's all the whole social, you know.
Now I noticed you have three articles on LinkedIn that you wrote, and none of them are really about your field. There's one about counteroffers. There's one about life lessons that you've learned, and the other is about how you want salespeople to deal with
small
you.
Business, okay.
Small business,
okay. Sell the small
okay.
business.
Did you
all
get
my
any,
clients.
Did those help you? Did those help you in any way as a recruiter?
Yes.
Have they had
actually?
How?
You know, one of the biggest things that with the counteroffer thing is one thing that a lot of recruiters struggle on. So by posting that and putting it out there, I have a lot of recruiter friends in different fields, and I had ones that had emailed me and say I'm using this a candidate's interviewing and I say if you get a counteroffer because it's all right there, so I don't have to explain it. It's so they're using me as a documentation of what they need to do.
How does that help you?
It helps me because I again am branding myself as an
okay.
Expert.
Doesn't help you. Doesn't help you. That's my take on that.
Yes, it
okay?
does.
It
yes,
helps
it does.
The people, it helps the people who you're writing the articles for who get to use it. They don't have the brains to write that stuff themselves. Okay. Let me ask
but
a few true. Go well. Go ahead.
No. I'm good.
Okay.
Talk over me. It's okay.
We'll talk over you. I'm in charge of the show, not you. Okay.
I know.
You should know
okay.
that. You read my information.
I know.
Now,
I got it. I got you.
Okay, there's only a few minutes left. I'm going to ask you some true and false questions. A recruiter needs to genuinely like people. True or false?
I would say false. Well, I say true, but some aren't false. I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Okay, answer's
they
false.
They do. True.
The answer's false. The answer's
okay.
false. Okay. A recruiter has to build relationships.
True.
Will you explain that to us? Okay. A company's culture is now a key element in recruiting. Do you make a company culture a part of your job? Is that an issue?
Absolutely.
Tell me how.
Like when I, as far as my client, clients, you know.
Well,
I'm talking
taking
about
the job, well, do you take the job orders or does someone give you the job orders? I wasn't clear on that.
Get the potential and the opportunity and then I pass it. But I'm talking to candidates about it.
No,
I know
you
what's going on.
You talk to a hiring manager and take down a job order. No, somebody else does. Your boss does. Okay, but does your boss or does somebody in your company, when they take a job order, do they have a section called culture and they tell you about the company culture?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really? Give me an example.
Well, here's one thing. Like I know one of the banks that we work with is they're very high energy. It's a very high energy. They're very, they're kind of growing. You know, it's a growing, they're acquiring, and they're, you know, a lot of people wear a million different hats. So if you're not ready for that environment, if you just want to come into your, you know, then that's a huge, it's important. Like, I mean, I want these people to succeed. They're going to make a big jump. It is. Now if you, or there's really conservative things. Hey, if you're like, you got a potty mouth and you're, you know, a little crazy, you know, you might not fit in really well there. You know, just that's where I'm in the South. You know, there's the old school meets new school. So you need to really know where you're going.
So those are very broad strokes, okay? You're not asking people if they like to celebrate birthday parties or play in a softball team or go out for happy hour. You don't talk to them about that kind of stuff, right? You don't get that nitty-gritty.
Not initially, no. Uh-oh. You know, Sean, my coworker, might get into more specific.
Okay,
that,
there's only 5 minutes left. Does any people on the line who are still on the line have some questions or comments?
My God. Apparently,
when I give them the opportunity.
Amy, I can't find your email address anywhere.
Whose email address?
I can't find Jamie, your guest's email address on her LinkedIn. I can't find it anywhere. Can't find it on
LinkedIn
for a
while, right towards the
company website.
Gives her desk, it gives her cell, and it gives her email address right there.
Where's that?
On the LinkedIn profile.
Oh, I'm not a first connection, and I'm in LinkedIn jail, so I have to have an email address in order to.
It should be at the bottom.
In order to connect.
You just go at the bottom. At the bottom.
Can you give it to
him
now? Can you give it to him now? Is it okay to give it on there? Why not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's on my Twitter too. It should be. Jamie, J-M-I-E, and then period, and then Suka, spelled S as in Sam, C as in cat.
Okay, I forgot the spelling. Go to SBA Recruiter, Nayez. She says it's there. Good for you.
It's not yet.
Okay. I haven't. Let me ask you, since they don't have any worthwhile questions, I got lots more questions, but is there anything that I haven't touched on that you think is really important?
I think that, as far as recruiting is concerned, you know, I just think that people need to listen more. It's huge. It's huge. I don't think that enough people do it. And if you listen close enough, somebody will tell you how to sell them. It's true. I mean, you just got to listen and not talk over people like somebody else on this show right now.
Give me an example.
I got to tell you, for somebody with about a year's experience, she's got everything she needs to be highly successful. I've seen recruiters with 10 times the time in the business that she has, and that line sums it up. You have to listen. Two ears, one mouth. That's the key.
Booyah, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, yeah.
I don't like that, to tell you the truth. In fact, just tell me how somebody tells you how to sell them. You got to have what they want. That's the key.
Yeah, I mean, you listen.
No,
like
way.
I said, you know.
What they want, what you're missing, Mike, is your job isn't to make the horse drink.
No, you're not. You're just to figure.
The horse thirsty.
Exactly.
And there's a world of difference.
And I tell people, I say, what is your wish list? What is your wish list? And they'll tell me. I mean, if you had a genie came in here and said three wishes to make the perfect job for you, you know, and if you were to make a move, what would they be? And they'll start listing them. And then I'll repeat back to them, hey, is this I'm getting this right, this, and this, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, but kind of this. And so it's all like, it's obviously the positive reinforcement back to them hearing, so they can hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Combine that with the person who says, I am very happy, I'm not leaving for anything. And then your next question is, if you could change one thing.
Exactly.
I'm not saying I can grant it, but one thing, tell me what it be. Well, I would love to do the same job but get 20,000 more. I'd love to be 20 minutes closer to home. You're always going to get something because there's no one who's 125% happy. There's always something.
And I always say, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're happy. I know. My job here is not to put a square peg in a round hole or, you know, push you in any position. I just want to understand what makes you tick. And, you know, if an opportunity comes along that's right fit, you know, I want to make sure that it's exactly what you were looking for and not waste your time.
Now, let me ask, who's doing the after show, Jerry or Travis? Because I don't even know who's still here. Probably neither of them.
I put everybody to sleep, apparently.
No, I'm here, and I'm certain Jerry is, too. We'll get her handled.
I don't think Jerry's here. 260 signed off a while ago. That's why I wasn't sure. Okay.
Gotcha.
So,
no, I'm here.
We're going to the after show. Travis is going to lead it. Jamie, you can't stay on the after show. I've enjoyed having you. I enjoyed meeting you. I like that we got into nitty-gritty stuff, even if other people would rather watch soccer. That's okay with me. I can't please everybody. But, Jamie, you might want to call in sometime and, you know, just be part of the panel.
Yes, awesome. I appreciate it.
Anybody still on here?
Yeah, there's people there. But I didn't tell Jamie she's not allowed to stay on. So Jamie and I can't be on. That's you got a few other people. Not many, I have to tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get her handled. Scores. Who's got some scores? And there's the pin drop.
You sound great. I have to tell you,
I'm thinking to myself as I'm listening to the show today, I couldn't help but think, and it first touched off when Animal brought up the Twitter sphere crap about the success on Twitter, and I can't help but think that the vertical she's in, sales, lends itself to success on Twitter, as well as that engagement that she's achieving on the phone, because they're salespeople. They want to be heard from. Am I right, or am I way off base?
I think you're spot on. I mean, it's probably just you and I here at this point, but I think you're spot on. And you know, that's my my whole thing is when your industry specialty will have its own indicators or whatever that work very well for that. I mean, my industry is automotive. Nobody's on Twitter, okay? I mean, it's, I've attempted to watch Twitter, but it's just, to me, I guess it's just too confusing, unless you're totally monitoring it, as a scroll. But I don't, I think Animal did have a point. It wasn't clear how through Twitter someone had approached her and then she ended up placing them. I can believe if they found her interesting on Twitter that they, sent her the resume or whatever, and then she was able to market their background. It does sound like it's such a niche. I'm not going to be one to knock her niche. It sounds just so narrow that, a recruiter probably could make a decent living, and probably do very, very well, in fact. But sourcing candidates, you're working with such a small pool,
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in it for 10 months. There may be a point where, unless she's diversifying, which I'm sure she's doing because she sounds pretty bright. I mean, she sounds incredibly intelligent, quite frankly. Because she certainly nailed, just in general, good practices in recruiting. I mean, I think she demonstrated that. And she probably is trying to expand her areas of specialty. But I can imagine at some point in the future a fall-off, of activity,
Mm-hmm. Especially being a guy,
you know, 5 years ago, I was trying to get a small business loan and finally just gave up. I mean, seriously. But what do you think? What were the scores you gave her an Animal?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 85 for the guest, and I'm going to go 80 for Animal. He kept it under control, considering he didn't have his best compadre on the show to help him. Kept it on track. I think went off the rails with the whole, give us your spew, your canned speech for referrals. And in the history of the show, as far as I'm aware, that's never really drummed up anything that at the end of the show somebody said, holy crap, I wrote that down, because that's frankly the best line I ever heard to get in to talk to somebody. So what do you guys think? What are your scores? Scores, everybody.
You know, it's like, I'm really torn. I was jibing Animal, on the internet before the show, and I was telling him that, I gave an anecdote that, at an MRI conference, they had one of the speakers had the recruiters calculate their, what would be their hourly rate, and had them, the recruiters consider, how you spend your time during the day and what that's costing you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I told Animal, I said, someone 10 months now, okay, yeah, she recruited years ago, okay, but, I used to, bake cookies years ago or whatever. I mean, that's negligible to me. But, obviously, I think as a guest, I think it would be very motivating that she, I'm going to give her an 80, because I think it's motivating to hear someone be able to tie into good recruiting practices so quickly and be able to execute that in a very narrow niche the way she has. It's pretty amazing. Being a guy that's hired and fired a ton of failed recruiters, I just admit that. And maybe some of that's on me, but as far as Animal goes, I give him I'll be 70, I guess. Because I didn't, the role playing thing on how you do a phone call, it's not going to come across as Hollywood acting, it's just, it's funny. And the reason why I pound on the average phone time is we're extremely sensitive to that, even though Jerry wants to make fun of me over it. We're extremely sensitive to that. When you get a job in Detroit, Michigan for a run of the mill mechanical engineer, and you're looking at a field of candidates probably in the tens of thousands, it's completely unnecessary to spend more than 10, 15 minutes on the phone with them. Otherwise,
you're wasting their time.
You may be cursing yourself, because I believe that in our part of the country here, we're perceived, recruiters are more perceived at the individual contributor level, for placing individual contributors. I believe we're perceived as a little bit closer to the first window at Taco Bell versus what she's doing, which is darn near career counseling.
Mm-hmm.
She's leapfrogging these people in a big way. I am a little suspicious in her industry what kind of dollars we're talking about, because I'd be more interested in that. I just don't want to broadcast those questions, and I'd be interested in having a side conversation, because as a recruiter, as I said on the show, our time is our currency. So we can spend our time making, $10,000 placements versus 20 versus 30. And then when you go up from there, my understanding, is now your investment in the candidate goes way, 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 way up,
mm-hmm.
We're talking banking and we're talking small business. I'm guessing, her salaries are well sub six figures, so it just, and my point is that if she's spending 50 hours a week on the phone, and admittedly she said she's making 15 to 30 minute phone calls, that's going to burn up a day pretty quick,
mm-hmm.
Am I on the right track?
Because there's not so many people on, I think that's an interesting issue. First of all, Steve Nahez, thanks for coming on and discussing it.
Absolutely.
But you guys are always complaining about, why is Animal asking about the details about the initial call? Well, the details of the initial call are what determine the length of the call. How much time? How many questions? What are the key things that you have to get from that person? How do you evoke or elicit a referral. Those are really important issues. How do you get the person, you know, build rapport on those calls? And if they're only 5-minute calls, then it becomes really interesting. How do you do it? I know you've got your own technique, Nahez, but I mean, like, I really can't understand why you guys are complaining all the time about, you know, my questions about how does this person approach people when Steve Nahez is saying right now this is vitally important because you can waste your whole day talking about nonsensical things or you can get right to the nitty-gritty and get your candidate out there before somebody else does.
Yeah, touche. I follow that, and you know, you've got 50 minutes with her, and I just think of if we're going to get granular, you know, because the role play thing is extremely hard to do over when you're on the show or whatever. And quite frankly, there wasn't as much interruption going on. So she had a little bit easier than most guests do, but regardless, I mean, we're both in the same camp. I mean, we agree and you're right. That's the critical point of recruiting, is phone calls. The other stuff are helpful tools in some cases, whether it's Twitter or sending people emails or whatever. I mean, I think especially on the Facebook page, there's been especially some very interesting anecdotes going around, you know, regarding, I think one of the recruiters posted something that she got into an email battle yesterday over a candidate between her and HR. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, in my old school days, which aren't really that old, I mean, going back 5, 6, 7 years, my boss was very, the guy that trained me was very sensitive about staying off of email, you know, and having phone calls. And that's, you know, that's the way I went through it. And she's obviously in that camp. And the other interesting thing is some of her terminology was, you know, sort of, she was using tenured recruiter terminology. I have no doubt she's going to be successful. I just wasn't exactly sure why she, usually recruiters get the bug, man, and they stick with it, you know. But she dropped out of it for 3 or 4 years, and that was curious to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we the only ones?
We were the only ones. Travis, anything else you want to wrap it up? Is Travis gone? Is Travis gone?
Still here. I'm still here.
Okay, well, you're in charge. You got to close it up.
Are we the only ones on at the point? This point,
that's,
the three of us?
Just the three of us. Just the three of us.
Okay, well, I guess, Stephen, you remember that post you put on one of the more popular recruiting groups on Facebook, recruiters who actually make placements, of which I am a member. That post that you put on there with the piercings and that?
Yes.
That was
yeah. I think niche recruitment like that I think that she's experienced the success she's experienced because of the vertical she's in. And beyond that, when it really comes down to it, it's a people business, and if you're able to pick up the phone and engage in a conversation yourself, you can experience success in this business. Am I right?
I don't know about that because I've now cycled through probably a half dozen people in my office, and this is just me. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I'm looking in the mirror, trying to figure out if there's something I've done wrong or the training's wrong or whatever. I found 5-6 people that had the gift of gab. The problem in my particular industry, the problem was, you know, in your brain, you've got to blow the car and do an, you know, exploded view of the car and identify that there's, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 parts that make up a car, and you have to have a curiosity on what those individual pieces and parts are. You have to have at least a minimum of curiosity. In her industry, she obviously working, you know, her curiosities involve working with small businesses, keeping the metrics, you know, making sure the bank's meeting its metrics on,
I'm getting loans out, the timing of the loan, support to their client base, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but, you know, in mine, you can't go hunting for a foundation breaks engineer and talk to 100 people in a day and quite possibly not have any interest in what that person does and what they're inventing at their desk. It's bizarre. And
well, I think you have to take an interest in your market. Certainly.
And, well, hold on. Believe me, this is what I'm driving at. I think that there are recruiting agencies, some of the big ones, the multi-layered ones, like the Aerotech and Adecos and the some of the Snellings. I think that they're so layered that when it gets down to the sourcing people that are, quite frankly, not making very much money, on a relative basis, those individuals get to the point where they don't have any type of passion towards what they're recruiting for. They're just doing the job. And thank goodness for that, because in my case, that's who I'm up against, and I recognize that.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. No, wait. I've had Steve on as a guest on the show, and I attended your webinars, which were very, very good. And my understanding is completely contrary to what you're saying now of the way you operate. It's opposite to hers. You have sort of an industrial style recruiting where you blast out the jobs on email. So email is a fundamental part of your business. And then you have, 4-minute interviews. You're the man, you're the famous guy with the 4-minute interviews. You don't ask people what they want. You don't express any interest in what they're doing. You just pound it and say, hey, are you interested in this job? If you're at all curious, I'll get back to you. And you send the resume out to the company as fast as possible because speed is a huge issue in your business. So what are you talking about now? Would you have to be interested in the break systems and stuff like that? You're doing something in which that's totally irrelevant.
Passion in recruiting, passion in the industry you're working in is the formula. And
in a 4-minute interview?
The reason why there's a lot of assumptives that go into that type of 4-minute phone call. First of all, you're in the first 10, 15, 20 seconds, you're already outlining your level of credibility in the industry, okay? By identifying where you're located, who you're working with, and then kicking back into their corner what it is that they're doing. Okay, so if I'm looking for an exterior lighting engineer that specializes in optics, okay, I'm calling that person up, I'm identifying myself, I'm down in Allen Park, Michigan, and I know you as a really good optics engineer because I've got a copy of your resume, I've seen your profile on LinkedIn and such. I want to chat with you about something, and you're rolling through that very, very quickly. I don't need to know about their kids. I don't need to know about, quite frankly, anything, any of that jazz. In her industry, I can see how she's leveraging that. My industry, if you need to move on to the next optics engineer. Yeah, I guess it would be helpful for this guy to rat out the optics engineer in the cubicle next to him, but it's really not that necessary. So, that's the other big battle we get into on the social networks is about reference checking. Jerry gets all over my case on this. I can't stand it. I can't stand doing reference checks because I don't need – I say this, and it's not pompous or arrogant. I don't need – a candidate to hand me, 5 hiring managers that I can call and try to flip the call on them to get a job order. We have job orders falling out of our windows up here. We don't have enough candidates. That's the problem. Okay. So, I don't think, I'm just going to go a step further. Whatever that lady's making, I'll say I can double whatever she's making. Okay. Because I'm running through the math in my mind, working 6 job orders at a time, making half-hour phone calls, I'm running through my mind what kind of money she makes. I could double it. But the problem is that what she's doing in her industry will not work here. She'll get lapped. You know, I mean, she's going to spend 15, 20 minutes talking to some guy on the phone that's already been submitted 2 hours before, you know, before you're trying to submit them, you know. And anyway, that's how I address that, your comment.
Hmm.
Right.
Hey, Animal, question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a recruiting conference. Rebecca Sargent's thrown together, you know, in Niagara Falls.
Yep.
I think it's in October.
Right.
Any plans? Any plans on heading a couple hours over?
No. although you reminded me, I wanted to do an ad with her. I wanted to do an ad today, and I forgot. I forgot all about the ads.
What do you do in that case? Do you, like, physically send back the check, or?
What, with the
do you
ads?
Make it up in subsequent
no,
shows,
I don't,
or
I don't
how's
take
that
any
work?
Money. I don't take it. Nobody pays me for anything. It costs me money to do the show.
I thought you were charging for your ad space, Animal.
I was going to charge people a dollar. I don't know how you know, the show doesn't have that many listeners. I don't know how valuable it is. If somebody, a major, wants to come in and throw some money at me, then yeah, I could I would charge them. But like if it was Monster or somebody, and then they could publicize the show as well, or you know, I would have their brand to promote the show. Dice usually does all these little shows. I noticed
Animal.
John Sumser and yeah.
Just
yeah.
One guest would fix everything for this show for the immediate future.
Okay.
Book
that.
Rob Ford.
Rob Ford, the mayor. Yeah.
Book Rob Ford.
Yeah, he's got a point there.
All right, fellas, I'm going to go back and make some money.
All right.
Thanks very
Everybody
much.
Everybody have a good day.
Travis, thanks a lot.
You're welcome,
Here,
sir.
Bye-bye.
Mama! I don't want to die. But sometimes we should never been born at all. Carry on, if nothing really matters.